I'm K1 FM 93.3 as we're going to talk City of Bartlesville stuff. City Manager Mike Bailey with us. 64 degrees. Mike, not too shabby for a September 10th morning.
Good morning. This is definitely a Chamber of Commerce kind of day.
Yeah, not too bad at all.
In fact, the whole weekend was.
That's accurate. Yeah, it's green because of all the rain and the weather's nice, so soak it up. I'd be fine with fall temperatures starting here rather quickly.
I do not disagree with you. I will take fall temperatures just about any day.
Mike's got a list of things to go through, and we're going to hear from a lot of other city folk this morning as we talk some City of Bartlesville news over the next 30 minutes or so on K1.
Yeah, I've got several people here with me, but before we get into all of them, Evan, thought we'd talk a little bit about some projects that we've got going on. This is something that the listeners usually appreciate knowing about, either what's coming up or what's going on and how long they can expect it to last. There is upcoming. There is a city and ODOT project that is a sidewalk project that we're working together on for safe routes to school. And the sidewalk will connect the east side of Madison Middle School with Pathfinder, where it intersects Quail Ridge Loop. So this one actually will kind of cut cross country, across that field over there by Madison Middle School. And then there will be a second sidewalk. It'll begin at the sidewalk in front of the Hoover Elementary School, and then it'll run north along the east side of Madison Boulevard to the main entry into Sooner Park. So this has been a great program. This is the Safe Routes to School. It's a grant program through the federal government. We've been fortunate enough to receive this, I'm not sure how many years in a row. I've got Jason here, who's the finance director, and he probably would know better than I would, but we've been doing this for a number of years, and it allows us to expand our sidewalk around our schools. Mm-hmm. which is a great thing. A lot of the elementary schools in particular were built in the areas of town long before there were rules about having to have sidewalks, so you'll notice that's not always the case. Another project that's coming up that will be a pretty major project is the Mountain Road Mill and Overlay. That will start in September or October. Of course, that's dependent on weather, just like all construction projects. This should last approximately 8 weeks. That's assuming that weather conditions cooperate. And the roadway will be closed completely during construction due to the steep and winding configuration of the road. So when that is happening, and of course the people in Circle Mountain will be notified of this, but access to Circle Mountain Estates will be limited to the rear entry off of 3940 Road during this project. So great project, one that needs to happen, but obviously will be pretty inconvenient for those who live up on top of Circle Mountain during that project. The other project that we have upcoming is the fourth phase of the Johnstone Pavilion project. And if you all have followed this is a project that we've done with city funds and with community development block grant funds, which are, again, these are federal funds that are passed through the state. And we've used that to build the entire pavilion complex that you see there. The fourth phase of this will actually be a parking lot, which will serve more than just the Johnstone Pavilion. It will also serve the Kitty Park. So we've got a lot of work going on in that area. As you know, there was a geo bond, and part of that was to sort of spruce up the exterior of the Kitty Park, the fencing and things of that nature. This parking lot will tie in with that and with the pavilion. So we've got a lot of great things going on in that area. And the last thing I'll talk about before we turn it over to these guys to talk about is that we had a rather lengthy council meeting last Monday. So about a week ago. It was on Tuesday, actually, because we had a holiday last week. And there were a number of fairly weighty topics considered that night. To anybody who just tuned into that council meeting, it might have looked like it was a little rushed, but what they probably would have missed is that there was workshops that occurred prior to that. So there's been a lot of discussion on this. And essentially, we covered, I believe somebody told me, we covered most of the sins that night. We talked about medical marijuana, we talked about alcohol, and we talked about concealed carry in parks. We also talked about smoking as well. So in the medical marijuana, and I'll just talk briefly about this, and I think I'll bring Lisa Beeman in 2 weeks, and I'll let her get into the details of it. But medical marijuana, for those who aren't familiar, that was a state question that authorized that. The state question was statutory in nature. What that means is it didn't amend the state constitution, it just amended the statutes. Well, the state legislature can also amend the statutes. So right now there's a certain degree of uncertainty over what those final rules will look like for medical marijuana. So we tried to take a pretty cautious approach to it. There were certain things in the statutes that told us we had to do. We have to allow retail, which is the dispensary. We have to allow the personal use. We have to allow people with personal use to grow it in their homes. So we had these things we had to do. So we acted on those that night. There are other issues that are a little less certain. Those surround like agricultural use, for large agricultural use for commercial purposes. That also involves packaging and processing. This is where they create the edibles and they package it for sale to the retail stores. All of those things, we were silent on those. We think that the rules, that we don't know what they'll finally look right. like. We visited with several members of the state and trying to get an idea, but essentially that's where we left that, is we were just silent on those and we'll kind of wait and see. But for the dispensaries, those will be allowed to be opened in accordance with state law, which is 1,000 feet from any school district, for any entrance to any public or private school, and within a zoning area, which for us, that was essentially our commercial area. So they can open those in a commercial area that's not 1,000 feet from the entrance to a school. The second part of that, and kind of related to it, was smoking in parks. This is something that we've debated on for a number of years, was regulating smoking in parks. The marijuana issue kind of pushed it to the forefront, because anywhere that you're allowed to smoke tobacco, then you're allowed to smoke marijuana. So there was a lot of concern about that. So we actually did act to ban smoking in parks in certain areas. Now, it's not a blanket ban. It doesn't say Johnstone Park or Sooner Park. It was specific in that it prohibits smoking within 50 feet of any playground or play court, within 50 feet of the fence confines of any outdoor recreational facility, within 50 feet of bleachers and stands used by spectators at public events, and on the travel or walking surface or 5 feet thereof of the Pathfinder Parkway trail system. So essentially, the theory is that anywhere that there's a high density of people, in other words, at a baseball field, people gather in that area, and you can't choose to gather somewhere else if you're there to see the baseball game. So we wanted to ban smoking in that area. Now, that doesn't mean they can't smoke in the parking lot. They can't smoke, again, outside of that 50-foot radius. They can smoke anywhere at the park. So we had done a sort of an informal poll, and it was overwhelming that the community supported the idea of banning smoking in those areas. And in fact, I think in a lot of cases they would have gone farther and banned it in parks altogether, but we weren't ready to do that. Also, on October 1st, that is when the new alcohol laws go into effect. So we had to update our ordinances. There wasn't a lot to be done. This law was very clear in the state law as to how these were to be handled, so there really isn't any uncertainty. So we went ahead and addressed those issues and updated our ordinances to be in harmony with that. And then the final thing that we did that night that was, again, it was a fairly weighty discussion, was dealing with firearms. And in our firearm ordinances, it applies to the Oklahoma Self-Defense Act. Our ordinances were in compliance with an older version of the Self-Defense Act that hadn't been updated. And one of the things that our ordinances said was that you could not carry a firearm, concealed or otherwise, in a city park. Well, state law specifically says that you can. In fact, it says that we're not allowed to prohibit that. So we had to go in and modify our ordinances. There was some concern because this originally came about because of a sign that the kiddie park had. But we want to be clear that this wasn't about the kiddie park. This was about an ordinance that the city had that was in violation of state law. So once we recognized that, we updated it so that our ordinance now matches the state law as it should. So that was last Tuesday. That was about a 2-hour meeting, and that was more changes in city law than I've seen since I've been here, probably. And we did it all in one night, all necessary, and all related to things that were going on at the state level. Now, on a more immediate item, I'm looking at the chief here, and he's looking down. He's still taking notes, by the way.
There you go.
He is. He's dedicated. He's going to work up until the last minute to ensure that he's as prepared as possible. And now he's trying not to look at me because he's not very happy that I called him out for taking notes right before he got called up here. So,
Mike, you need to learn how to speak slow.
I've been accused of being a little bit like an auctioneer, Chief. So now you got about 5 to 10 minutes here to talk about your topic. And I think tomorrow we have a very special event coming up that you and your honor guard have arranged. And
yes, we've kind of decided to have a
little memorial service to commemorate September 11th. As everybody knows, that's the day that they crashed some planes into our World Trade Centers and the Pentagon in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. So our honor guard, they it was their idea to commemorate that day each year. So we're going to have a little ceremony in front of Central Fire Station tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Over retire flag. It'll last 15 minutes or so. So if anybody wants to come out for that, we'll be there. And
we'd certainly encourage and appreciate the public attendance at this event.
Yes, everybody's welcome. It's like I say, it won't last long. It's kind of short, so it won't take much time out of your day. But if you want to stop by, I think we got the PDs going to block the road off for us, so we'll have to worry about any traffic. So we'll just gather there in front of the Central Fire Station. And we'll think about those people that lost their lives on that day.
Absolutely. Of course, there were a number of first responders that lost their lives that day. And of course, there were a number of civilians as well. But there were a number of people that were rushing towards those buildings that lost their lives that day. And we want to take a moment to recognize them and everything that was lost. Now, this is, you said that this was essentially planned by your honor guard, which is...
Yeah, we you know, here in, I guess it was last year.
I think they've been around for a
little over a year. Well, we had an interest to start an honor guard, which we'd never had in Bartlesville. And so we had some half a dozen guys that stepped up that wanted to kind of work on that. We've sent, I think, 4 of those members to the National School for the Honor Guards. So we've got 4 graduates of that academy, which is a week-long academy that's very intense. A lot of and you can see the results of that, that's of right. those guys going to that school. They do an excellent job. They look pretty sharp, and it's something we're pretty proud of.
I think that, and I believe this, we had this ceremony last year was mm-hmm. one of the first times that we rolled out the honor guard, and they did a fantastic job then as well.
And we didn't have their uniforms completed. I don't think at that time last year would still be in their full dress uniforms this year. So we're those guys are staying pretty busy.
I suspect so.
Yeah, they do a good job. Which also, Vince, how we're talking about that, Fire Prevention Week is also coming up, October the 7th through the 13th. So we'll be, you'll probably see, we usually walk about every first and second grade class through the fire stations that week. You know, people will start scheduling those tours.
Pretty awesome.
And, we'll teach a little fire prevention to the kids and let them honk the horns and blow the sirens. And
of course, they used to want to slide down the pole, and you went and got rid of the poles.
We got rid of the pole because the pole was not safe for children to slide.
The pole wasn't even safe for firefighters to slide.
Yeah, it wasn't safe for firefighters to slide. Now we have a slide, a spiral slide, which is, I'm not sure how safe it is either. I went down it one time, and I thought, that's enough.
I asked you how you came out, and you informed me that you were running sideways.
Yeah, I made sure nobody was around so anybody could witness it, but...
So the children kids get to go down the slide?
Oh, yeah, they love it. So
it's perfectly safe for them. It's probably not that safe for you.
It is. It's safe for them. We let them slide, the ones that want to, and we have guys at the bottom catching them, so it's not a I don't think we've hurt anybody yet. So.
As I said, it would be you or I that get hurt, Chief.
I'm sure the city attorney will know as soon as it happens.
Well, that's also a great event that's coming up.
Yep, and... We also have new fire apparatus. I don't know if the people have seen it on the road yet. It's a Station 2 got a new 50-foot aerial that was bought off of the, not this bond issue, it was the one previous. Actually, that included previous, the public safety complex and some other items. It was actually one of two trucks that we got off of that bond.
Right.
The first one I think we bought in 2012. This truck here, we took delivery of it in June of this year. It replaced a 1990 model pumper that was out there. So it was a it was time to replace that truck. And we've got another one that's on this new bond that we received bids on it and awarded them.
In fact, just awarded it last Tuesday.
Yeah. And so, and actually we've got a pre-build meeting set up for it the first week of October. So, and we'll take delivery of that truck. It takes 9 to 12 months.
And that's, I think, something that people may not understand. These are not a standard cabin chassis. This is not something that you can roll off of a lot. These are built from the ground up, custom built for us according to our specifications. Is that correct?
That is correct. They have a lot of safety features built into them that your typical truck, over the road trucks, don't have. They got, you can't see a lot of the stuff that a lot of the safety that goes into building these trucks, or the cabs are just have a complete roll cage in them. I mean, they'll withstand a pretty good impact. So they're a lot safer than anything, and they're better built. I mean, you see some of the commercial cabs and chassis on volunteer departments that don't make a lot of runs, you know, but they just won't hold up.
We make a lot of runs and we keep our trucks for a long time.
Yeah. So, and you don't save that much money by buying the commercial cabs and chassis. There's not that much savings when you look at all the safety features that come in the custom rigs and the longevity. They'll, like I say, we keep trucks 25 years. You know, we'll keep them on the front line for at least 20 usually, then in reserve for another 4 or 5. So, sometimes longer. So,
we're looking forward to having that one in the fleet as well. And of course, that's a constant process of updating our fleet and ensuring that it's modern and safe. As I said, the one that you got rid of was a 1990. Was that right?
Yeah.
So it was 28 years old, and we've actually got it. We're going to put it up for auction with a reserve. If the reserve is met, then we'll sell it to who buys it. If it's not, then we'll work out something with one of our nearby fire departements so that it stays available to us in the event that we have a fire that they have to respond to. So
yeah, that's the good thing about when we have several larger volunteer departments around. So we have Dewey, Barnsdall, Pawhuska, those areas. You know, and they're always we go help them if they need us, and if we need them, they're quick to come and help us also. And it'd be pretty nice to know if we ever needed that truck, it was a phone call away.
It wasn't too far away.
You know, so
we'll be looking at that as the next step of this, and then of course we'll be in 9 to 12 months. We'll be talking about the delivery of the new one.
Yep.
By that time, it'll be time to talk about.
What's
next?
I was going to bring it to a council meeting, this last council meeting, but after I looked at the agenda, I thought we better pick a better time. So maybe the next council meeting, we'll bring that it down one. And let everybody get a look at it.
That one was.
Of course, you can
stop
by Station 2 anytime.
Now I want water in it so that I can run the turret.
Yeah.
And I want you to stand out in front, and I want to see if I can get you.
Yeah.
that was an agreement, in case anybody was confused. That was not agreement. So, all right. Well, thank you, Chief. Appreciate you coming and joining us today. And I also have Shelley McGill, who is a lady of many hats. And today you have your library hat on. You are our library director as well as our HR director, and I'm sure I missed something, but those are the two big ones.
Well, I have a history museum too. Can't forget our history.
There we go, library and history museum.
But yes, I am here to talk about the library this morning. And September is actually library card sign-up month. And so we're really excited to offer our library cards free this month to our patrons and citizens. And we have gotten some new designs on our library card. So if you want to come trade it in and get a new design, this is the month to do it for free. And we've also rolled out a new card called the Digital Library Card. So the Digital Library Card allows you access to all the electronic services that we offer. And we offer quite a few these days. There are access to our chief one is OverDrive. And there's an app called Overdrive. And with the Overdrive app, you just go to your app store and download it. And with your library card, you have access to all kinds of ebooks. There's like 40,000 out there. There is movies. There is, we're getting ready to add magazines in the next few months. We also have databases for like encyclopedias as your kids are doing schoolwork, homework help. There's all kinds of services that are really digital these days, and you can get to them from your home. So with this digital card, it allows anyone, and we're giving them to a lot to school kids for help with their schoolwork. But also if you've racked up charges on your regular library card and you can no longer use it because you owe too much, this digital card will allow you to still use the library and just access our digital services so that you're not losing out on that resource that is should be available to everyone. So we're really excited this month and hoping that everyone will kind of come check us out. We've done a lot of renovating our library, adding new services and adding new collections, and we're really excited.
Hey, there's a lot of great things happening at the library, and for anybody who might be a little intimidated by the thought of the Overdrive, it is an app that goes on a phone. It goes on a tablet. Will it go on any phone, any tablet?
It will. Right. It will. And a so, Kindle, a Fire, a Nook. You can use it with anything to get those free books instead of buying them.
And you can, then I assume at that point in time, you can link your library card to it so that the checkout is seamless.
It is. You can lay in bed and check out a book in 5 minutes. It's just exciting.
Hey, it is. That is very cool. And of course, in the world in which we live, that's the expectation for people, is that they be able to do something like that. So I'm glad to see that the library, and this isn't new, by the way. We're talking about it now, but Overdrive is not new.
It is not.
That's something that you all have been doing for a while, but we want to make sure that everyone's aware of it and aware of how easy it is. Because as I said, it can be a little intimidating, but it's just another app for your phone.
And we actually are doing two things to also help that. Every month we're teaching a cell phone class to better teach you how to use your cell phone. U.S. Cellular's coming in and teaching those for us.
Oh, great.
And also
Maybe
we have an Overdrive class. And so we have a lady that comes and teaches you how to download the Overdrive app, to get books, to check them out. So those classes every month with help with your device plus help with our app.
Well, and I know that we have patrons that are homebound, and you all have done a lot with book delivery services, but this is another service that allows homebound patrons to take advantage of that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, okay. Did you have anything else, or was that...
I think that will do it for us today. I just wanted to give one short 1 minute plug for our things collection. We are going
Absolutely.
Strong on our things collection, and you say, what is a things collection? Well, that's a collection of things you can check out from the library. We have anything from books, they're called launch pads for kids. They're just little pads that are electronics that are preloaded, but you can't, they don't have a camera on them, they don't hit the internet, they're just a self-contained device, so they're very safe for kids. And we have 30 of those. We have such things as Kindle Fires for adults. We have things like typewriters and laminators and cake pans, musical instruments. So if you haven't checked out a thing from the library, we'd love for you to come check out our things.
Got a great collection, and as I said, libraries are ever-changing, and this is yet another example of the way that it serves the community. So thank you for all that you're doing and all the changes that I've seen at the library.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the opportunity to expand it for our community.
Well, thank you, Shelley. And we've got one more guest here with us, Evan, and he's been sitting there hoping we were going to run out of time, so he didn't have to talk on the radio, but he, no such luck, my friend.
You're talking way too fast.
Everybody needs to slow down, right?
I've only got 2 minutes worth of material here, and we got 7 minutes left. So
I've got Jason Munninger here, and Jason Munninger is filling my role since I was promoted to city manager. So Jason is the city clerk and the finance director. And he has, we've received some news about sales tax.
In fact,
I think we've got, what would this be, our third month of this fiscal year that we have the results of?
Third period, September's deposit, which, you know, comprised of sales from half a month to a month and a half ago. We are currently, good news this month, we're up 5.63%, and that equates roughly $83,000 up over this period last year.
What we received last year, yeah.
And that puts us currently at 4.45% up on the year, which dollar-wise, that's a little over $205,000 over what we received last year, and I know that's, we budgeted a modest increase, so that puts us a little above where we had expected to be at this time of the year.
And in fact, we budget month to month, and so I believe through the first part of the year, we were not expecting much of an increase.
No, very conservative.
Kind of turning around in the last 3 to 4 months out of the year, so it's good news that we've had this happen this early.
It is. It's kind of hard. You know, it's so early. We get this deposit letter. We don't have any real breakdown on what this consists of.
We don't know much about it, right.
We just get a lump sum deposit from the state. It'll be probably another week, 10 days, till we get the data, kind of see what sectors we're seeing these increases in. Kind of give us a breakdown of, you know, where are we doing well and where's, you know, maintaining the average and what's falling behind from previous years. So
now the increases that you're talking about, do those include the amounts that we'll have to remit?
These do not.
On behalf?
These do not. Like, so we don't have the detail yet, so we can't pull out the amounts that we need to put in reserve.
Our actual gains will be a little bit less because part of this will be due to, and I'm blanking out on the name of the shopping center here. Help me out.
Silver Lake Village.
Silver Lake Village. Yes, my gosh. Like, it's the only new shopping center we've built in 20 years, but I can't remember the name of it. Silver Lake Village, of course, which is part of a TIF. And part of that TIF was that we would take a portion of the sales tax. In fact, at this point in time, half of all sales tax earned on site and set it aside.
That's correct.
And that doesn't go to the developer. It's not used as a payment. It's a debt reserve account, mm-hmm. correct? So of these 3 months, are any of those have that amount taken
July,
out?
July's month has it out. So I'm kind of looking back at the rebates we've given. I'd say we've got anywhere from probably $40,000 to $60,000 of this increase that we're showing total for the year. Could be reduced. You're still looking at for the year being up, you know, $160,000,
$170,000. Probably somewhere around 3.5%.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range. So within the next, of course, it's September 10th. And in fact, I think this is the deadline. The state will post their
reports come online today.
So we'll have to do that as soon as we leave here. But good news, really good news. Of course, some of this, what period did the most recent, did September's deposit cover?
I believe it was the latter half of July, first. And it kind of gets sketchy, depending on when people remit.
Mostly July, though. Mm-hmm. So it usually lags about 2 months, and then there's some estimates that go in.
Yeah, you get the state's collection time, then their remittance back to us.
So if you're a regular business and you collect your sales tax in July, you give it to the state in August, the state gives it to us in September. And then there's some prepayments and weird things that happen in there that complicate matters.
It's a little convoluted.
We just say mostly July.
Yeah.
So, but of course, that's mostly July, and there were some events in employment in Bartlesville in August, so... this doesn't take into account that.
No, we'll see that probably in the next month, the 2 months
that's
deposit
right.
time.
We'll see what the impact of that was. The other thing is, of course, we had an offset in that Dunham's came online during this.
And it's obviously going to be very good, I believe, for our community, just from my personal thoughts on it.
It's quite a story.
Finding a niche that we didn't have here.
It did. There was pretty limited sporting goods in Bartlesville, and of course, as part of Silver Lake Villages, there was phase two that I know a lot of people were disappointed it fell through, was an academy. Mm-hmm. I think if you were disappointed at the lack of the academy, I'd encourage you to go into Dunham's and
I would say
Dunham's
has everything to offer that academy would have. I
would agree with you.
Pleasantly surprised when I first visited Dunham's, just not knowing the store, really being regionally
from
a store
this region,
most people
that's
have
right.
heard of. So, like I said, I think it was definitely an area that the city of Bartlesville lacked on a, you know, convenience and supplies and whatever it is, especially if you're an avid sports person or into coaching or anything along the lines. Like I know some of us in here are.
And of course, Hibbett's has been here for a long time, and Hibbett's has sporting apparel and sporting goods, but it was fairly narrow. It didn't have fishing equipment and didn't have hunting. If you're into canoeing or kayaking, I would encourage you to go check out Dunham's because they got an entire wall full
yes,
of them.
Yes, they do.
So that's great news. So it looks like we're in good shape for the first, I guess, quarter of this year, and let's hope it continues.
We got some good momentum going, coming out of this quarter. Let's hope we maintain that.
Bartlesville's had a lot of retail development over the last year and a half. And of course, a lot of that was due to the efforts of the Bartlesville Development Authority, but some of it was just organic as well. So
it was. It's good to see. It's good to see new things coming to Bartlesville. Let's hope we continue that on in, for the future.
So it looks like we're in pretty good shape at the moment, but we'll see how long that lasts. We're finance guys, so we're always looking at worst case scenario.
Yeah, worst case scenario, and be as conservative as possible in case that
that's
hard
right.
times come upon us, which we both know can happen.
hope for the best, plan for the worst.
That's right.
And it'll probably fall somewhere in between.
In the middle.
And it usually has.
Then you're prepared.
That's right. So, all right. Well, thank you, Jason. I appreciate you bringing that information to me today. And Evan, with that, I think that we're just about out of time here.
There you go.
Appreciate you hosting us as always.
Thanks so much, Mike Bailey and the City Crew. We got CBS coming up. It's straight up 10 o'clock.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227CQ Bartlesville.